Nations is should be something close to our hearts because it has to do with Canada. It has to do with Puerto Rico, as you saw, in the United States. And our goal is $1,700. And the nice thing about that offering is that every bit of that offering goes to supply our missionaries with what they need to share the gospel all around North America. And so our goal is $1,700. You say, why do we do it like that? Well, we have found that if this church and that church shares their little, that a little together ends up being a lot. And so we hope that you will pray. You can find envelopes on both as you go out and appear and give to that special offering. All of that goes to support our missionaries and goes to the mission field. All right, if you have your Bibles, open them to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 17. And the title of my message is Signs of a Healthy Church. Now, I've been in church work a long, long, long time, and I've seen a lot of changes in my lifetime, and I've been in big churches, and I've been in small churches, and typically what they want you to think is that a healthy church is a church that has large attendance, lots of money, the best music, and the greatest facilities. And I can remember going to conferences, and it is important. I remember going to conferences and said, you've got to have a good bathroom. I mean, that's common sense. You've got to have a good bathroom, but depending on what part of the world you're in, depends what kind of bathroom you have, right? And they say, you've got to have the best nursery, and we believe that. We're almost done with our children and youth area, and that's exciting to us. And they say, you got to have the best music, you got to have the best band, you got to have the best singers. And you know, I've heard this for years and years, and I even had a pastor friend that used to graph it all. He would put in Sunday offering, Sunday attendance, and he had all the, I mean, he developed a software program, and he would say, uh-oh, we got problems. And he would show me a printout, and I'm like, we got problems, all right, because you think that is the key to church growth. And he'd say, we got to change something. He'd either going to build something, change the service time, and it might work for a little while, and then we'd have the same problem again and again and again. And you know what's funny to me is we tend to look outside the Bible for help. And what really came apparent to me as I've been looking at Colossians chapter 3 is that Paul has been telling us how to have a healthy church. He is writing the church in Colossae, and he's very, very concerned about their spiritual condition. And he's trying to help them. And last week we talked about the dress code. And the dress code is what every single one of us should wear, not only to church, but outside the church. And that is things like kindness and compassion. And the truth is, if you put on the right kind of clothes, spiritually speaking, we will be attractive to a world that is lost and without Christ. And we will have what we're going to talk about this morning, which is peace. And so this morning, I want us to look at signs of a healthy church from the Scripture. Now, we got to clarify terms. Signs of a healthy church. I am not talking about a building. I'm talking about people in the building. So the way to have a healthy church is to have healthy people sitting in a building who leave, and when you leave, the church goes. You know, First Baptist Mount Ida is gathered here right now, but as soon as you leave this building, First Baptist Mount Ida goes all over Montgomery County. And that's a scary thought sometimes, isn't it? So what are the signs of a healthy church? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your own life, because you are the church. And the first sign is found in verse 15, and it is this. It is peaceful. It is peaceful. Look at the first part of chapter 3, verse 15. It says in verse 15, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." Notice it's plural. This isn't an individual assignment. This is an assignment he gives to the church, which are people. And he says in there, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule." Now, that word "rule" is a real interesting word. It's the word umpire. The one who makes decisions. And what he is saying, that you and I as believers need to let Jesus Christ be the umpire in our life when it comes to relationships with other believers in Jesus Christ. And that allowing him to be the umpire is to allow his peace to be a part of that process. He says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." And then he says, "For as members of one body, Jesus is the head, we are the body. For as members of one body," look what he says, "you are called to live in peace." Listen, one of the things I'm very fortunate to have here, to my knowledge, is a group of people who want to live in peace. I mean, I know that everybody doesn't love me. I understand that. I just don't know who they are all the time. But here's what I do know. The people I see this morning, I feel comfortable with. I look out there and I see people who don't care about what we used to do. What we care about is what we do now. And that makes my heart happy as a pastor. Because you see, a healthy church is a church that lets the peace of Christ rule. And any time there's a disagreement, any time there is a problem, we get out of the way and we let Jesus make the call. And Jesus' call is always going to be for his people to have peace with each other. If you want to measure a church, don't measure by the attendance necessarily, and that is important. You want to have people show up. Measure by the peace that they have with each other. That makes sense. That's church growth to me. When you can take a bunch of people. Now, I'm just looking in at this weird group this morning. Okay, I'm just going to divert. We have some that have been here for quite a few years. We have some from California. We have some visiting from Arizona. They live here now. Met some this morning from Texas. Cassie moved back from Nevada, even though she's a local. I mean, I'll look at this New Yorker there. I mean, my goodness, we let you come. I don't know where Brent, Hot Springs. He's a Hot Springs native. I mean, Keith, you know, and Karen from Colorado. I mean, I look around and I just go, "Oh, God's got a sense of humor." But you know what we do have? Y'all laugh just then. You laugh because you have peace with each other. Now, we're not perfect and we know that, but here's the thing I know about churches that are good churches. They have peace with each other because Christ rules their hearts. He's the umpire. You want to get in a church that has problems? It's when they rule. Here's the impossible thing. For me to please every one of you, there's no way, right? And so the way you have peace is you just try to everybody Their goal is to please Jesus. And that's the way to do it. And you know, the thing about Jesus, and I want to talk about his peace that he gives us. Three kinds of peace he gives us. First of all, he gives us peace with God. If you're not a Christian, you don't have peace with God. But here's the thing. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the scriptures teach we have peace with God. Not because we did anything, but because he died for our sins. So we have peace with God. But the second thing about Jesus, he gives us peace within. And I think right now in the world we live in, we need a little of that. You see, I believe it's Jesus Christ who gives you emotional peace. He saves you from your sins, but if that's all he's done, you're missing out on a huge asset, which is the fact that he wants to give you peace within. Hey, listen, you know, we live in a messed up world right now, people. And, you know, I'm not always wanting to promote that the end of the world's fixing to come and the bomb's fixing to go up, but that could happen any moment, any day, anyway. So how do you live in a world where there's no peace? Well, you have peace within, and that peace comes from Jesus Christ. Isaiah 26:3, if you struggle with peace, write it down, memorize it. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all those who are fixed on you. If you want perfect emotional peace, get your eyes off the world, get your eyes off yourself, and focus on him. And he'll give you peace. But he also gives us the ability to have peace with each other. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, we have this beautiful picture of peace with each other. He says, he made peace between Jews and Gentiles. Now that's a miracle right there. Who's he? Jesus. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the groups. Now here's the miracle. God took this group called the Jewish people, which were his chosen people who didn't do what they were supposed to do. Just read the Old Testament. And he took this new group, which is the church, believers in Jesus Christ, who many of them are like you, a Gentile. You're not Jewish. Some of you may be. And here's what he says. By dying on the cross, he made one new body that was both Jew and Gentile. How does that take place? It takes place when Jesus Christ comes into your life. It says, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Now here's the thing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the ability to have peace with anyone of any color, any nationality, any background, and it should look like that. Why? Because Jesus destroyed all the barriers that keep us from being one. The peace of Jesus Christ gives us the ability to have peace with each other. That means, you know, I jumped on Kinley last week. You know, I talked about her. We're sitting around a table and everybody had t-shirts on but me. I didn't have a polo on that day, but I didn't have a t-shirt on. And she said, yeah, you got, like she was saying, you got that fancy shirt on. And you know what? That's what God's people looks like. Some have camo, some have fancy shirts. It doesn't matter what kind of shirt, how you dressed up this morning. What matters to you and what matters to God and what matters to me is so you have peace in here. Peace, the peace of Christ. There should be no group of people you can't get along with. There should be no group of people you can't forgive. There should be no group of people you can't be the church with. Why? Because we have peace. And so that's what Paul is saying here is in Ephesians 4:3, he says it this way, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, here's what I do know. Either peace rules your heart, the peace of Christ either rules your heart or something else does. It could be anger. It could be revenge. It could be selfishness. What rules your heart this morning? I hope and pray that as you look inwardly, you would look to see if you are spiritually healthy. And if you're spiritually healthy, the peace of Jesus Christ is ruling in your heart. But there's a second thing he says that is a sign of spiritually healthy churches. They are thankful. Look at verse 15. The last part of it, it says, and always be thankful. A present imperative. All these are commands. All my points this morning are commands. They're not suggestions. We are to always be thankful. We're always to have an attitude of gratitude. And when you have an attitude of gratitude, you will have peace. I've been reading through the Old Testament. Man, you talk about a beating. They constantly were griping and complaining. And God, Moses was saying, I'm done with these people. I just, Lord, take me home. I can't stand them. All they do is complain. You give them manna, they want meat. You give them quail, they want something. I mean, the people were never happy. And that is so opposite of what the church ought to look like. The church ought to be thankful. They ought to get rid of bad attitudes. If you have a bad attitude, this ought to be the last place you'd want to come because people have good attitudes. You want to be one who is thankful. And if you look at the last part of verse 16, he says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And then you go to the very last verse of chapter 17, and it says in the last verse, it says giving thanks through him to God the Father. One of the signs of a healthy church is they're just so stinking thankful. An unhealthy church complains and bickers and unhappy. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but every single one of you, the fact that you came today, you ought to be thankful. And you want to boost the morale of any person, just be thankful. I mean, and practice saying thank you to people. Rich, I'm very thankful for him. You know why I'm thankful for him? Well, I'm thankful for him, but he also brought his sister this morning. Reagan, right? Where's Reagan? Wave your hand, Reagan. Oh, she's back with the kids. I mean, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Brent. I'm thankful for Brent gets up there on that drum and plays around on it. And I'm thankful for his ministry here. I'm thankful for Matt. He's from New York like you. And then he marries a woman from California like Harry. And then Mama's visiting from New York. Oh my goodness. And then we've got LSU people here this morning who are like Baylor fans. They're depressed. But I'm thankful we came to church. We got our tails whipped and we came to church. What are you thankful for? I want to just stop and pray. What are you thankful for this morning? Stand up and say it and you can be a guest. I'm thankful, wait a minute. Those two monkeys in the back, raise your hand. Lucian and Dakota. I'm thankful they're back there. Okay, Fred. Thank you for God saving you. Melissa.
I am so thankful God brought us here
to
this church.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Little Hannah there, when I see her, I get all excited. Yes, back there, Caleb.
I'm thankful God.
Amen. Matter of fact, Caleb is one of my favorite huggers at the end of church. And Callie, she bailed on me with Kenley. Is that where they went? They're back there working with the kids. Ministry, away from Brother Bill. I'm thankful for that little round head right there. I'm thankful that Keith made it back from Africa in one piece. And I'm thankful that Karen got to talk to her mom before she passed away and read scripture to her. I'm thankful for Larry just because he's here today and gives me a hard time every time I say, do you realize how, someone else, something you're thankful for?
Carol and I had another birthday.
My hearing aids don't work that. For who?
Her birthday.
For her birthday.
Carol and I had
We got to celebrate. You know, that's something like a simple birthday. That's something to celebrate. I mean, you know, life. Listen, a church that's made up of people saying, well, that preacher, he's not very good. Their music could use a couple professional guitarists. And, you know, you hear people always thinking, if we had this, we had this, we'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. He says, and always be, it's a command, always be thankful. There's something beautiful when you just tell someone thank you. I would tell you kids, Caleb, Ridge, all you teenagers, one of the, Hannah even, best thing you can tell an adult is thank you. I'm telling you, it freaks them out. Lucas, you tell me thank you, I'm starting to wonder what's going on, you know? But be thankful. And that's what he's talking about. Healthy Christians are thankful Christians. One of the number one signs you're filled with the Holy Spirit is you're thankful. Oh, anyway, third thing. The message of Christ is a priority. Listen, this is key. I love verse 16. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Listen, any church that is a healthy church will always have Scripture as its priority. And it says, let the message about Christ, let the gospel about Christ, let the word of Christ, Scripture has to be our priority as a church and as individuals. And he says that you're to let it dwell in you richly, deeply. It's not supposed to be McDonald's meals. It's supposed to be bones. You ever heard of bones in hot springs? It's expensive. But you go to Bones and you take your time eating at Bones because it is a good place to take Carly for like an anniversary or something, okay? You might start saving now for a year, but when you go to Bones, you don't hurry. When you go to McDonald's, you're hurrying because it tastes so bad. You're just trying to get out. You're trying to get in your system and out. But the picture here is that the church lets the Word of God dwell richly. It literally means to take up residence in your life. My goal is to mess you guys up with God's Word every single week. My goal is to haunt you with the Scriptures that will give you advice and wisdom about how to live in a world. And it's a present imperative. It's a command. Every single one of us are to let the peace dwell within us and rule in our hearts. Every single one of us are to be thankful. And every single one of us are to get God's Word on the inside so it changes us on the outside. The word fill literally means to take up residence. And the question is, what's living in your life? God's Word? TV? The newspaper? Sports? What's dwelling in your life this morning? Listen, people say, what's important to you, Pastor? What's important is that God's people live according to God's Word. And we make excuses. But I can assure you what we try to do as a church, we try to have on Wednesday nights Bible study for all ages. We try to have opportunities for adults. Sunday morning, we have small groups. We have worship services. We don't do that just to have something to do. We believe that God's Word needs to just dwell richly. Hey, I don't know if you've been to Crumbles. Is that the name of that place we went yesterday? What is it?
Crumble Cookie.
Crumble Cookie. It's in Benton. I highly recommend you don't go there because you'll spend too much money. And if you're a diabetic, it'll kill you. And if you're not a diabetic, you will be a diabetic. We went there yesterday. It's rich. I mean, you know, when something's rich, you just first bite of that sugar cookie still with me today. You know, we want God's word to get in you like one of those cookies. Just dwell within you. And we you know, there's basically five ways to get God's word in you, and every single one of them is important. One is listening to sermons, to Bible studies. In Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing. One of the ways we take in God's word is through our ears. And then there's reading. I put out reading plans for you. I beg you to read your Bible, not because it's going to make my life better, but it's going to make your life better. But reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, that means you look a little deeper, memorizing the scriptures. One of the things I'm toying with is having a verse. Well, let me get the other one. Memorizing and meditating. One of the things I'm toying with is that we will spend an entire month trying to memorize, excuse me, it's that cookie, memorize, because I may have had one about 2 o'clock in the morning last night, not just saying. We may take one verse and try to memorize it as a church group, and when you memorize it, your goal is also to meditate on it. That means to figure out how to live it. And maybe for a year, we're going to go through doing that. And I'm working on that. You're going to say, I'm too old. Well, you remember some things, don't you? And they will say the best way to keep from getting older and losing it is to memorize and to think, you know. But what I thought, wouldn't it be great if we were all memorizing and meditating on the same verse each month? Wouldn't that be cool? Because you see, taking scripture in is crucial for your life. And a healthy church, which is you, needs to be indwelt by the scripture. You don't always need someone else feeding you. You need to feed yourself. And it's a command. And not only that, I thought it was kind of interesting. If you notice in the last part of verse 16, that it talks about they also put scripture to music. Now, you got to realize, at this time when the book of Colossae was written, they had the Old Testament, but they did not have the New Testament because it was being written. And what they did have were stories about Jesus and New Testament events. And so one of the things they did to teach their adults and their youth and their children is they put it to music. Do you see that in the last part of verse 16? Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. One of the best ways to teach, and I'll tell you what, you see it when these children come do a musical, they memorize it. And that's one of the most healthy things you do. And when you get good music that is scripturally based, that's one of the best ways to learn scripture. And the picture here of a healthy church, in my opinion, is one that's just consumed with scripture. Now, that means we don't walk around quoting it all the time. And I'm not talking about weird, but when you start reading it, when you start listening to it, when you start memorizing it, when you start meditating on it, when you start putting it inside, it changes the way you think. And if you don't do that, I can almost guarantee you think just like the world. I can almost guarantee you, if you're not putting it in, you're not thinking as God wants you to think. So, you know, I'll just be honest. Here's some of my goals. My goal is to have 120 adults, children, and youth in small groups on Sunday morning. My goal is to have 200 in worship, listening. If we ever got everybody here on the same Sunday, we might have 200. You say, why is that important? That's a dumb question. It's important to gather together to worship. I'm thinking my goal is going to be for us to memorize one scripture together and to meditate on it all month. You see, I want to be a church where Christ dwells deeply within us. That's a healthy church. Because you see, if you measure just by how many show up, and if you measure by your buildings, if you measure by your money and all that stuff, and that's important. You got to have money to do things. But how do you give success to a church in Ukraine right now who doesn't even have a building, who doesn't have any money, but they're meeting people, they're meeting in the midst of war? So let's be sure to get God's Word dwelling us. And then the last one, and I'm done. A sign of a spiritually healthy church is their lives honor Jesus. Now, one of their problems is the church made up way too many rules. You know, the Old Testament, I think, had 600 and something rules, or 800, one of the two. And you get to Jesus in the New Testament, and he kind of says, well, hey, I got two rules. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. If people would just do those two things, love God and love their neighbor, most of our problems would be gone with. Or Paul comes along and Paul says, well, hey, I got a better deal. I got one rule. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my. You mean whatever I do? Yeah. Yeah. Do it as. So what that means is you're doing it under the authority. So if you can't do what you do and say it was under the authority of Jesus, maybe you shouldn't do it. We are to. Everything we say and everything we do, we need to make sure that it glorifies God, that we honor Him, not just with going to church on Sunday, that we honor Him as we leave the church on Sunday, as we go to work tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You know, is your life honoring God? Are your words honoring God? See, healthy churches live it. Unhealthy churches talk about it. And our goal is to be a church that lives the truth. And you know, it's kind of like, and it was a fad, but WWJG, what would Jesus do? It's all about how would Jesus talk, how would Jesus live. That's how you live your life. And if Jesus wouldn't say that, you don't need to say it. If Jesus wouldn't do that, you don't need to do that. And it's all about honoring Him with the way you live and the way you talk. So, in conclusion this, does the peace of Christ rule your heart? Yes or no? Are you thankful? Is God's Word a priority in your life? And does your lifestyle bring honor to Jesus? You see, that's not Baptist, that's not Methodist, that's Bible. And what I have found is when I live my life according to Scripture, my life is what it should be. And so I don't know how healthy you are. I don't know any of those things, but you do. So my hope and my prayer for you is that you will be spiritually healthy. And if you're spiritually healthy, the church is spiritually healthy. So be what the church needs. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time, and I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the peace that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that we have the Scripture to guide us, and that we can love it, we can share it, we can encourage each other with it. Lord, I thank you that we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, I just being here today, we have so much. We have heating, we have cooling, we have lights, we have comfortable chairs. We have so much to be thankful for. And Father, I thank you that when we leave here in a few minutes, we can honor you by how we live our lives at work, at home, wherever we go. You see, we need to be a healthy church, and your word describes what that looks like. Father, I thank you. May we have a great week ahead of us, and help us to look forward to Easter. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.